Sean Jameson is a senior associate in Clive Decker Hofmeyr's employment practice. He joins us on the line. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Cathy. Thank you very much for having me. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on the program, Sean. We're talking about labor laws, especially those that affect foreign nationals. Government wants to tighten what those look like to ensure that there is equitable distribution in terms of the job opportunities for South Africans versus foreign nationals. But from a legal perspective, maybe just give us a roundup of where we are as a country and those that are being employed.
Thanks very much, Cathy. And I think you've already alluded to this. The discussion is really stemming from the recent industrial action and the violence caused in the road freight industry, where we've seen a loss of jobs to immigrant workers. And you know, the main rationale for this is unfortunately we've seen employers seek to employ displaced foreign nationals and potentially breach their conditions of employment by hiring them on lower wages and asking them to extend their working hours beyond what's legally permissible. So when we look at it from a South African perspective, what these regulations would seek to do is either introduce a some form of a quota or a percentage, or as it's been contended, potentially a complete restriction in certain sectors. When you take a South African legal perspective as it stands, we would know that there are no quotas or outright restrictions yet, but South African legislation does favor the employment of South African citizens. So the starting point would be the Immigration Act, which says that foreign nationals who have come over here, they've got the necessary paperwork in order. They have the same rights as all other South African citizens, but it can be limited through certain legislation. And if we look at, for example, the Employment Equity Act, that deals with designated groups, which is defined as black people, women, and those with disabilities who are South African citizens. So we see there in the Employment Equity Act that South African citizens are favored over foreign nationals. We see it in the BBBE Act, where the goal is to advance BBBE points, and the definitions there would also exclude South African citizens. And, you know, the one piece of legislation that is often not talked about is the Employment Services Act, which empowers the minister to pass regulations where, for example, employers are legally obliged to satisfy themselves that there are no South African citizens already with the skills before they can consider foreign nationals. So where we are now is our legislation does favor the employment of South African citizens over foreign nationals, but we would have to look at some form of a balancing act. I think an outright restriction in certain industries would be going a bit too far, and I think that would be potentially subject to interference from the courts as an unjustifiable limitation on the rights of foreign nationals. So that's really where we are from a South African legal perspective at the moment.
Do you find that there's a difference in how these laws are implemented, especially for those who are perhaps have your higher paying jobs than those who are just part of the ordinary rank and file of the working class?
I think the short answer is yes and no. I mean, if we, you know, internationally, we've seen it with these kind of restrictions and quotas being introduced at the higher skilled level, worker level. But if we look from an African perspective, Nigeria and Zimbabwe have introduced very similar restrictions and at the same job category level. So certainly from an African level, this is not a new concept. Internationally, maybe so, but we would, if this was introduced by the minister, it would certainly be aligned with the current thinking from an African perspective.
Why do you think that this legislation has been necessitated? So you've talked about the fact that there's already an existing foundation, there are already protections in the system. When it comes to the complaints that South Africans have around foreign nationals taking their jobs, what is happening in the employment space that creates the impression that foreign nationals do or immigrants to South Africa have more rights or they enjoy more opportunities than South Africans?
Look, I think the sad reality is, and I have touched on it, where foreign nationals and immigrants have come over and often don't have their necessary paperwork in order. And unfortunately, we have seen the practical reality here is that some employers are willing to jump at the opportunity to employ immigrants who are more willing to be taken at significantly lower wages, significantly more extended working hours, clearly in breach of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And, you know, that's where we've seen the disgruntlement from people, for example, in the restaurant industry and most recently in the road freight sector, where I think the impression's being created by certain unlawful conduct by employers, where employers are saying, we'll take the opportunity here. It is unlawful, but potentially to increase our bottom line, we are going to, and there's no other word for it other than exploit a foreign national through their rights to the detriment of South African workers.
The system is supposed to have its own checks and balances, right? Because on the one end, they're supposed to be enough, there's supposed to be compliance with labor regulations that people at least are declare the employees that they have in their organizations so that government or the state is aware of those employees. And also the inspections that are supposed to be taking place from the labor department aspect of things to go and see whether what employers are saying about their practices and operations is in fact the truth. Has enough of that been happening?
Unfortunately not, and I think we must refrain from being overly critical. We do have resources that are stretched, and unfortunately the compliance officers from the Department of Labor are simply not able to get around to every employer. And unfortunately, this has been sometimes seen as an opportunity to take advantage of the lack of resources. That being said, recently, there have been encouraging signs where we've seen the news, the Department of Labor's inspectors are often coming unannounced and catching employers off guard, and they have been subject to the relevant penalties. So I think the bottom line is it comes down to a lack of resources, but it's not to say the Department of Labor isn't doing what it should be doing. I think that would be a mistake to make.
Do we have enough data, though, on... So you mentioned the restaurant industry, and often, even on the show, we'll get listeners who call in and say, the majority of people employed in the restaurant industry are foreign nationals. And there's no way of knowing whether it's people's perceptions or if, in fact, it's the truth, because there are problems with the data.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do the recording mechanisms currently of the Labor Department allow for us to have that information?
It would give you an idea, but you are definitely correct in that, you know, there are employers who are not necessarily disclosing what they should be. There's, for example, smaller employers who are trying to get by without declaring the necessary information to the department, as they are duty-bound in law to do. So unfortunately, while the data that we have at the moment provides an indication, I think given the lack of resources we have, and simply the inadequate declarations made by employers, it definitely doesn't give you a 100% accurate idea. I think, unfortunately, at the moment, there's just no way of having accurate data for those reasons.
So if one were to change the legislation then to try and ensure that it has certain restrictions in place, what are the kind of things that government would need to look into doing? Because I don't see how having tighter regulations is in any way going to change the issues that are taking place at you know, the bottom end of the scale, because on some level, businesses are getting away with it because, again, and I know you're saying you mustn't be overcritical, but the point is that if there isn't enough capacity to enforce the regulations, people are simply doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, you make a very valid point. And, you know, I think if we are going to introduce, you know, some form of restriction or quotas, et cetera, the practical reality is exactly what you're saying. Is there sufficient resources to go and enforce those regulations? And while the implementation of the regulations may be seen as a step in the right direction, practically, the enforceability thereof may be questionable and our capacity to enforce it. So it would be a step in the right direction, but I think there's two legs to it. One is, are we passing the correct regulations, which still give effect to foreign nationals' rights, which they do have in terms of our constitution? That's step one. But step two, there must be a practical side to it. There's no point in passing regulations that are unenforceable given capacity constraints. So that would have to be a practical, a practical set of thoughts that go through government's process before they implement these regulations.
You're raising such a critical issue, because when it comes to the rights of migrant workers in the country, part of why employers get away with employing people that don't have permits on lower wages and working hours is that they also not complying with the labor regulations of this country. So effectively, they're breaking the law and they're taking advantage of people who are in a vulnerable position.
You've hit the nail on the head, and I think I mentioned it earlier. It is an unfortunate reality, but the perception that's giving rise to this industrial action as to why are foreign nationals getting jobs over local citizens is unfortunately a taking advantage of a precarious situation where an employer may see an opportunity to potentially employ someone who is vulnerable. That is the correct description. And, where we've seen this from an employer's perspective, it is the employer saying, I'm aware that they are potentially not here with lawful papers. They're not legally here on a lawful basis. I'm still going to accept that and still employ these employees in contravention of the law. And that's unfortunately where the reality is. It's an exploitation of vulnerable workers, often to better the bottom line. And that is the unfortunate reality.
So it sounds to me then that the problem the problem that's being raised here lies largely with employers in this country.
Well, I think the employers, it's got to be the starting point. An employer is duty-bound to comply with legislation. And an employer is fully aware of what workers they can employ. And to the extent that an employer becomes aware that an immigrant's papers are not in order, that's potentially one thing. But the second thing, it starts with the employer to employ employees on terms and conditions of employment which are compliant with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and the restrictions on maximum working hours, the restrictions on national minimum wage. That onus must rest with the employer.
Somebody on our SMS line says, Kathy, on foreign workers, the problem is not the lack of laws to limit foreigners, but implementation. Kathy, I'm a foreign worker with a work permit. Only 13% of foreign truck drivers have permits, but no employer has been arrested for employing the 87% of illegal migrants. These are truck drivers, and it says there that a concerned migrant, I mean, I'm not sure about the numbers that he's giving out, but certainly there's a point that none of these employers actually get into trouble. What is the rate of consequence management here? Are there repercussions for employers who do cut corners, and are we seeing enough of that for it to be a deterrent?
Unfortunately, it goes back to what we saw earlier with stretched capacity issues. We are not seeing enough. There are penalties for employers who are not complying with legislation. Unfortunately, the
All right. Wait, what happened to Sean? Sean? Okay, it looks like the line to Sean. We've just lost the line to Sean there. Apologies for that. We'll try and get him back on the line. I'm not sure what happened, but let's take a listen to the WhatsApp voice notes that you've been sending in line with this conversation.
Hi, Kathy. I'm Kathy, man. This our president has run out of ideas now. Seriously. He's always talking about getting advice from team of experts and so forth. But then, Kathy, there's no expert who will advise you to load a taxi of 16-seater to a full capacity. Not at this time of an hour. This our government, they've run out of ideas, clearly. Seriously.
Kathy, I think also you know that in the workplaces they employ foreigners more because the locals run more to the unions and they call demonstrations and stuff like that that disrupt the workplace. With a foreigner won't do that and go to the unions and stuff like that, you understand? That's why they employ these workers. And another thing, you know, sometimes our work standards is not as good as the foreigners.
There we go. Thanks for that input. Sean Jameson is senior associate at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr's Employment Practice. Sean, and I suppose our listener is just emphasizing the point that many of the foreign nationals who are employed, at least illegally, they don't have the protection that perhaps South Africans would enjoy under unions, etc. What makes it difficult for the implementation of this legislation at the perhaps less skilled market than those who are much more skilled? Because I imagine that the same companies, if they were to hire senior managers who are not South African, would have to be fully compliant.
Yes, thanks, Kathy. I think the biggest risk, it's inherent where these restrictions are in respect of lower level employees who often, as you said, do not have access to workplace forums, to trade union membership, and even to the extent that they do, and they do have some form of protection, we often see an unwillingness because of the stereotype and the issues that we're practically seeing in South Africa with employment of foreign nationals. So there's often an unwillingness on the part of workplace representatives or even our own forums like the CCMA and the bargaining councils in the relevant sectors to actually go out of their way to assist in resolving the dispute. So I think what needs to happen is if these regulations come in respect of lower level employees, there needs to be a clear and enforceable means of protecting these workers and ensuring that their standards and conditions of employment are the same as with South African citizens.
All right. Let me thank you so much for your time and for your contribution to this conversation. It's just gone 11.